Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Middle is very proud to be a founding member of the OddPods Media Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode number 132 of From the Middle, a comedy, culture, entertainment, and interview-style podcast hosted by three middle-class guys living in the middle America in the middle chapters of our lives with a point of view that is somewhere in the middle. In this week's episode, I pretty much take up the whole first half talking about Sherry and I's trip up to Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin to watch the Packers play the Bears. Speaking of the Bears, we went to Chicago and saw the Home Alone house. So we had a fun discussion about that. And on the way back, checked out the Harley Davidson Museum in Milwaukee. We also talk a little bit about F1 and the dramatic fashion in which that season ended. WWE and a new pipeline they're building to professional sports from college, and some recommendations of games we're playing and things we're streaming. Enjoy!
Oh, for the love. Sorry, just clearing my Mountain Dew hole.
I got my phone hole clean today.
That's where you keep it?
You're so cerebral, and you're so developed and evolved.
Exposition. That's the word I was looking for when talking about the M. Night Shyamalan movie, Old, when characters in a film are explaining things out loud that you should leave to the viewer. There's too much exposition. That was really bothering me, and I wanted to circle back.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
So if you don't know what episode we're referencing, just know that the movie Old by M. Night Shyamalan has way too much exposition. You're welcome. How you guys doing?
Well, yeah. Tickle my pickle. Let's kick off 132, boys.
I will. Woo-hoo! Not.
Here we are. 132. 132.
Corey.
Yeah.
Did you do something different with your hair?
No.
Maybe what?
It looks like you started growing your hair back, but your bald spots now are kind of a little bit more sporadic.
Yeah.
And everything's yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, this.
Yeah.
This foam yellow object on my dome.
Yeah.
This is a cheese head.
Ah.
Do you guys know what a cheese head is?
I think any football fan knows what a cheese head is. And Corey is now apparently on the bandwagon.
Yes, as we mentioned last week, I was going to get the opportunity to take my bride to Lambeau Field, home of the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And that was this past weekend. And what the fans there do, and probably at away games as well, is wear these foam cheese heads. And I wouldn't consider myself a Packers fan, but it seemed a fitting souvenir to grab from the pro shop. So this is.
Is there off the top of your heads, get it? Is there a more iconic fan accessory in all of sports that you can think of than the cheese head?
I mean, if you come to mind, I don't know how I would rank them. There's the terrible towel in Pittsburgh.
That's the next one I thought of.
There's the
striped, overalls. Those are worn by a few different teams. In fact, Green Bay fans wear those in green and gold. Indiana fans have them in red and white.
Yeah. I think Wisconsin, when I think stripes.
Oh yeah. The Badger. Reason.
Yeah.
Any hockey fans out there might be familiar with the wingnut hat for the Red Wings.
The cheese head might be the most popular.
I think the cheesehead is probably the most like uniquely people popular. See it, they know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Wisconsin. And
yeah, was it's game? Certainly weird. Yeah. So.
I feel weird wearing it. And my hope is that at some point in this episode, we get into like a really serious conversation. But for those viewing on YouTube, I'm still wearing the hat. Having serious conversation.
Maybe that could be like your big moment where you take it off, like taking off glasses to make a point.
Yeah, you gotta hold it kind of up to your chin too.
But then like clip out only that moment visually, so you have no context of why I'm wearing it. Just
that's right. So you guys got to go. You went to the game. You talked about going to the game. You went to the game. I told you I was watching the game. I'm a Lions fan.
Yeah.
Which is highly unfortunate for me. But that means I can't root for the Packers, but right. Like that I would get arrested. And I was still hoping and for a good game for you and Sherry to experience as possibly your one and only chance. Right.
Yep.
And, man, that you name it, that game had absolutely everything, most of it in the first half. But like, I mean, not only did it have high scoring with like high fly, long touchdown passes, multiple of them, but you had a pick six in the game. You had a returned punt in the game. You had a successful onside kick in that game. What a game to watch, man.
It was, you're right. It was full of every type of thing. And we found ourselves as Ohio State fans being a bit conflicted because we're there because my friend Dan has season tickets and is a huge Packers fan. Sherry's a Packers fan. But the Bears quarterback, Justin Fields, went to Ohio State, just left Ohio State, and it's his first season at the Bears. And so you kind of like, I told everyone, we're rooting for the Packers. We hope Justin has a great game and that the Bears lose.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, there was so much action in that game, and the atmosphere was electric. They say, of course, they're all going to say this. They say it's one of the most electric stadiums and atmospheres and game day events in all of the NFL. And that, I mean, I have nothing to judge it on because this is my first NFL game. It was pretty special.
How did I make it to an NFL game before you in my lifetime? That feels odd.
Which game did you go to?
I went to the Browns Ravens like 3 or 4 years ago at Cleveland.
Wow. Yeah. See, yeah, your name on Zoom is the one less traveled, but you experienced an NFL game first.
I did. I got 4, and I even had 4 free tickets and free parking passes to that game.
Look at that.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, fancy. Yeah, because one of your kids was getting baptized. We went to that and then beeline straight to Cleveland.
That's right.
Right after that. That's funny.
Anyways. Kendall, have you been to NFL games, Kendall?
Once when I was a kid. I was young. Back in the when Detroit was playing in the Pontiac Silverdome.
Yeah. Nice. Was Barry Sanders playing in those days?
No, he was done by then.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so they played the Seahawks and won. That's what I remember.
Well, it was, I just got to say, just I'll fly over some of the highlights of the trip. It was 2.5 days together. We left on Sunday around lunch or sorry, Saturday around lunchtime, made our way up to Chicago as like a good stopping point, 5.5 hours away. Stayed at a mall-like area in the suburbs of Chicago. We did not want to stay in the heart of downtown just before the holidays on a Saturday. So we stayed at a mall instead because there's, you know, that makes a lot more sense. When I discovered that 7 miles away was the iconic house from the movie Home Alone. And I was like, 7 miles, we got to go check that out. I remember texting you guys, should I go at night or during the day? Which, if you could only do one, which would you do? I think you both said nighttime. Much to our chagrin, the house had no Christmas lights on it whatsoever.
That is terrible.
What's up with that? It's a huge missed opportunity.
It's funny, when you sent me that picture, I was thinking, if you own that house, at least during December, how do you not have like the Michael Jordan on the train going around the living room and like the people dancing and the things? And then you need one of those signs in front of the house that says turn into this radio station. And it's the music from the movie, like playing locally. How do you not do that with that house? Like,
or at the very least, like stage it like it was in the movie with the white lights trimming the roof line and all that beautiful stuff.
Come on, private individuals, entertain them.
So yeah, I imagine 3 decades of people standing in your front lawn and taking pictures turns you off of that idea real quickly. I think it's gone through multiple owners throughout the years. And I had heard at one point you could actually stay there. Like they were basically Airbnb-ing it out. I don't know if that is still the case. We did see a U-Haul in the driveway when we were there at one point. So I don't know if it's changing hands or what. But yeah, the whole thing is gated, like with a waist-high gate. There's a security guard across the street just managing the people. At any given time when we were there on the evening of Saturday evening, there was anywhere from 12 people standing up at the gate area to none, just kind of depended. But there was like a steady flow of cars parking, and they just walk up, take their picture and leave, do the iconic, you know, screaming Kevin face, putting the aftershave on his face, which I felt a bit weird doing. But, you know, you have to do it.
It's an obligation.
It's yeah. obligation.
Think about that, though. That's like 30 years after the fact.
Yeah.
And you still got a security guard and a line you have to manage because
yeah.
people want to take pictures. And you said it was 7 miles away in Chicago. 7 miles can be an hour to get there. Was it an easy trip or did
yeah, it was all suburbs. So we stayed in Wilmette, and the house is in Winnetka, which is, it's all through suburbs. Like you didn't get on a highway or anything. You just drove through some neighborhoods. But yeah, there was a cop and a security guard and a steady flow of traffic. Yeah. 30 years after the fact. And then we went back the next morning to see it in the daylight, way less cars, nobody standing at the gate, a couple people walking up to it to eventually get their picture, but the security guard was still there. If I would have been thinking, I would have done a quick video and just interviewed the security guard and asking him questions. But I get the impression that one thing I did over here is that this is a year-round thing. It's not just Thanksgiving and Christmas time that people come to see the house. Like it's a pretty steady stream of folks that are usually wanting a picture. Can you imagine being the neighbors? Just like the disdain that you have.
Yeah, I wonder how many original neighbors are left at this point.
Yeah.
Implying that people who live there now like know. What to expect. Like they knew that coming in, or at least I hope they did.
And so interestingly, the house was only used for mainly the exterior shots. All the interior shots were on a set at a nearby abandoned high school. So they completely used the floor plan of the house still, but built a set in this abandoned high school. The basement scene, and I learned all of this from you guys are probably familiar, and I think we've even talked about the Netflix series, The Movies That Made Us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 45-minute little spiel on Home Alone, and the basement scene was shot in the emptied out swimming pool of the high school so that they could flood it and it not do any damage. So they wanted to be able to flood the set, but yeah. And one little tidbit from that documentary, I recommend. That's a great series, by the way, as well as The Toys That Made Us. But they said that they wanted that shot when Kevin's mom finally comes home, where he peeks out the window and it's just a beautiful snow. But it wasn't snowing and it was unseasonably warm in Chicago that year, 1990, apparently. And so they kind of broke set. At the house, at least, and said, we're going to page all of you when it snows so that we can come back just to get these shots. And so everybody was kind of on standby waiting for that first snow so that they could shoot that scene. So that was pretty cool.
Man, that is cool. Long enough ago that the actor has grown up, ruined his life, and has since rehabbed again. So
yay. So after seeing it in the day, the next day, we went to a nearby breakfast joint, which is apparently world famous, called Walker Brothers Original Pancake House, which is a spinoff of the famous Original Pancake House, started in Portland, Oregon. And there's now a location at Polaris here in Central Ohio.
How about that?
So we had the iconic apple cinnamon pancake and some other things, and it was great. 3-hour drive up to Green Bay, parked. We were so early that we parked right next to the stadium for an exorbitant amount of money. But I was like, hey, we're right here. This is great. And just walked around and went to the pro shop early, and Sherry got some Packer gear. And walked through the tailgating scene and just people watched. And there was snow on the ground there. And they had these big concrete rectangles in the parking and tailgate area. So people were putting their beers in the snow and dressed nice. To the nines in Packer and Bears gear. And there's live music everywhere. But the craziest thing about this, you guys, is that this stadium, and I think I said this before, is in the middle of a suburb. We were at the tailgating area, standing at the foot of the stadium, looking up at the stadium. You turn around 180 degrees, and it's these very modest little one-story bungalows in a neighborhood, like all around you. And I'm like, I want to know the story. Like, do these people just Airbnb their places and get out of Dodge for the weekend and just let, like, charge an exorbitant amount to let people use their... Every backyard had like a wedding tent, heaters, tons of alcohol. It was just like, it's all in a suburb. I'm so used to stadiums being in major cities, being from Ohio, where it's either downtown Columbus, downtown Cleveland, or downtown Cincinnati. I'm not used to seeing these stadiums kind of out in the middle of nowhere and or the suburbs. It was so bizarre. I couldn't process it.
Did you see anything while you were walking around the tailgating area? Really cool setup, somebody that did something really silly, any food that you were like, ooh, I want to try that. Anything unique that you noticed
in
the tailgating?
So if you're a sports fan, like kind of every team or main venue has some characters that dress up like the guys that dress up like the Road Warriors, or there's always a Darth Vader, but like, or a Stormtrooper, but it's painted with that team's colors. I guess the Packers have a guy that looks like Hulk Hogan in green and gold, and he was walking around. There's another guy who wears a costume called, it's like the Frozen Tundra, and he has icicles hanging from his cheese head, icicles hanging from, I'll pull it up while I'm talking. But yeah, we saw him. There was all kind of fun, of course, like sausages and brats everywhere because, you know, Wisconsin. And then the cool thing that you're supposed to do is they have these skis, a single ski with little holes drilled in it every couple feet. And it's called a shot ski. And you get with four of your friends and you all tip the ski back and do a shot. And so there were shot skis everywhere and little fires and space heaters. And so people were cooking. And I'm like, are these people selling? I've never tailgated. So I don't know, like, do they sell there? Are they basically setting up? Are they just giving away free food and drink? Or is it just for them? Because there was like buffet tables, a bunch of parking spaces had gone together and made like one massive table of food and cheese and fruit. And I don't know how it all works, but it was just so fun because I don't really have a dog in the fight, you know, so I could just observe and be a fly on the wall. And just, again, like we've talked about IndyCar and now Formula One, just dive into the culture and just be a fly on the wall and enjoy observing and soaking it all up and smelling the smells and seeing the sights. It was so fun.
So there's a, you mentioned the Hulk Hogan character. I was going to bring this up later and we can come back when you have your thing up. But to segue into this, my current patronage of the WWE and football, and we've talked about the name, image, and likeness thing going on in the NCAA now, which is where players can get paid. They're free to make money off of promo deals and whatever it is. They can make money now, which they never were allowed to before. The WWE has a program and they're hiring college athletes. It's called the, I'm going to read this for you. This is from ESPN. It's an article from ESPN. The WWE hopes to use the NCAA's new name, image, and likeness rules as a way to form a pipeline for its developmental system. The promotion said each deal provides clear pathway from collegiate athletes to the WWE. The athletes in the program, which is called Next in Line, NIL, come from four sports, wrestling, football, basketball, and track and field. I saw this graphic. They have like, I mean, there's got to be 20 different kids that they're paying in the hopes that like some of them will follow this pipeline from collegiate sports into the WWE.
Wow. So, I mean, I knew they already had the training camp, but I didn't realize the existence of this pipeline.
Hold up. Let me be the ignorant listener, viewer, whatever. Is that the issue with WWE right now? Is it making less money because they don't have enough new talent? Is it that people aren't paying to go see it and they think that new talent will fix it? Or is WWE bigger than ever? I'm completely out of that world.
Well, they're not. They're certainly not bigger than they were like in the 90s or 80s or 70s for that matter. But I also think they're doing okay. I think that this is just part of their behind the scenes. I think they've always been recruiting and they've always had affiliations with other wrestling programs and that sort of thing. So I don't think this is anything new other than the fact that they can now go after collegiate athletes, which they haven't been able to before. And indeed they are. And they have a bunch of them.
The other interesting part of that is what the XFL is going to be coming back in 2022 or 2023. And at some point they're going to be trying to pick up anyone not going to the NFL as well. Like they're going to want to fill all their rosters and be ready to play with as many teams as they decide to bring back. And so it'll be interesting. I feel like some of these, you know, there's such a small fraction that play in high school that get to go to college and then play in college that get to go to the NFL. Maybe there's going to be more options than ever with this NIL thing as they can start to talk to these kids at a younger age and try to pull them other directions.
And potentially like pull them out of college.
Yeah.
Like not just like when you're finished up with your college stuff, it's like, you know, they play their freshman year and the next thing you know, WWE is just like, you know what? Quit. Come here.
Wow. That's
interesting. Offer them a job.
Huh. That'll be interesting to see play out.
I know the whole NIL thing is just, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be so much regulation coming in the years to come that it's already starting to cause some rifts and some problems and a little bit of buyer's remorse. I feel like for some fans who have always wanted it, myself included. And so I feel like it's going to get regulated a lot, but I mean, for the time being, it's the wild, wild west right now with paying college players. So,
well, we might see some interesting characters come out of that pipeline, maybe characters that look like this. So this is Tundra Man. And I think all the little logos on his jacket are like patches so he can swap them out. So like where it says Frozen Tundra at the game we watched, it said Sunday night because that was the Sunday night football game.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think he can swap all of those things out. But yeah, it was 34 degrees at kickoff and the feels like was in the 20s Fahrenheit. So it was pretty chilly, but super fun atmosphere and environment. So I can't thank Dan enough for making it possible that we could acquire those tickets and just get to experience that. And you said it, Kendall, I don't think this is something that we'll need to go back and do. This is sort of just one of those like bucket list things where you're like, this was pretty special and I can say that I've done it. And Sherry's still way more a Buckeyes fan, but this is something that she's wanted to do since grade school. So I was just glad that we could make it happen. And Dan joked about his seats that because we were at the very, very tippy top on one end zone. And he's like, hey, you can see plays form up, which is a really nice way of saying you can keep an eye on your car and watch the weather patterns from the top. But yeah, it was pretty special. And then on the way back, I realized that the Harley Davidson Museum was only 20 minutes off of our main route back home. And so we had a little bit of extra time on the Monday. I had taken the Monday off so we could travel back and visited the Harley Davidson Museum, which was really, really cool. I flew through it in about an hour to an hour and a half. They have a place, a shop, and a nice restaurant for lunch. But it's one of those things where you just, your first time there, you just get the lay of the land and do a quick pass and really look at the things you want to look at. And then when you get to go back the second time, you know which areas you really want to spend some time on and read every placard. Probably my favorite area of the entire museum was an area where all of the bikes from film franchises, either replica bikes, so like the Chopper from Easy Rider, the Captain America bike, the bike that Arnold Schwarzenegger rides in Terminator 2. And then we've talked about this many times on the show, the documentaries Long Way Down, Long Way Round, and Long Way Up. They had the electric Livewire, the modified Harley Livewire that Ewan McGregor rode in Long Way Up, the actual one, not a replica, the actual one was there. And then you're able to sit on any new of the newest Harleys and just sit on them and see what they feel like. So really cool place. You need a lot more time to enjoy it, but it was a nice detour on our way back and just a really full weekend of making some cool memories with Sherry. And I'll just say, I think I rediscovered the importance of having a regular opportunity to, I don't want to say rediscover your spouse because that sounds weird, but like, I think we're relegated to our roles as mom and dad, and we both work from home. So we're both employees at the house and there's chores and tasks and being a mom and being a dad. It's like trips like this where I'm like, yeah, my wife's like really cool to hang out with. She's like a super fun travel buddy. And like, you need opportunities to find that again. You know what I mean? It was really special. And we just had a great time. The weather couldn't have been better. And I liked having a relaxed itinerary, and those impromptu visits to the Home Alone house and the museum were just, again, not planned. Just think we have time, it'd be cool, it's on our way, we might as well, and a ton of fun. So anyway, enough about that.
Well, I final thought on the museum, because all of those things I would have enjoyed, except least popular would have been the Harley Museum, until you sent me the picture from of Ewan McGregor's bike from Long Way Up. And we had just watched that not long ago and gotten caught up. If you've not seen any of them, they're on Apple TV Plus, the streaming service. You don't have to necessarily be into bikes or necessarily Ewan McGregor and his buddy Charlie Borman to enjoy them. If you just like good documentaries, they're super interesting and definitely recommend streaming those. But when you sent me that picture, I was like, okay, I would have enjoyed the Harley Museum.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have probably enjoyed it anyways, but especially with that would have been a cool little, having watched that all unfold. It was that one specifically was their third trip and the first that they had used an electric bike,
yeah,
which was what was most unique about the third trip. And they took that all the way from the southern tip of South America up to LA, and they were able to, for the most part, barring a couple instances where they needed a backup truck with a charger, they pretty much charged and rode their whole way, the whole way. So really, really cool. So for that to be the original one is pretty unique.
Yeah.
To have made the journey.
Yeah. Harley went all out to support them in that endeavor because the bike was not released yet. This was like really a prototype, you know, model that they let them use. And then they partnered with Rivian, the electric SUV company, to make sure that there were charging stations all along that route for the bikes. So it was kind of like early prototypes for Rivian, early prototypes for Harley, two celebrities using them, get a little press and marketing, and then they get to have a cool adventure along the way. Yeah, really cool. And if you do get a chance to go, if you're into motorcycles at all or Harley at all, the museum is very cool. It's right on the river in downtown Milwaukee. The restaurant's great. I had a patty melt that was actually surprisingly delicious. And because, you know, you don't expect museum food to be all that amazing. And it was spectacular. And then you can actually tour the factory as well and see them make the bikes and the engines and stuff. So really great time. And just, you know, thanks again to Dan for making it so that we could get those tickets, and to Uncle Greg, who's been on the podcast many times, who watched the kids while we were away to make it all happen. So just had a ton of fun. Speaking of documentaries real quick, and things that I become fans of very quickly, we talked the last couple of weeks about F1, and the season wrapped up on Sunday morning. So I woke up at 5:30 local time in Chicago to find a dark corner of the hotel room and turn on my iPad to watch the last race of the season, which I told you guys going into it, the top two drivers were tied in the championship scoring. Fun stat on them going into the race that I shared with you guys. So if you added up the distance that the drivers have traveled in the entire 2021 season, it would be equivalent to a trip from London to New York, if you could drive it. If you add up the finishing times of the driver, top two drivers of that distance, and they made that hypothetical trip, they would only be separated by 9 seconds.
Jeez.
So that's wow. How close they were going into the last race of the season, which came down to a very, very controversial last lap that is still being hotly debated online. I'll let you go look at highlights, but the drivers were like, or sorry, the commentators again were like, I've not seen anything like this in 2.5 decades. So I feel like I just picked this really good time to like start learning more about F1. And a few friends online have commented and we're having like little playful heated arguments about our favorite drivers. And, but yeah, watch the highlights. Even on SportsCenter the following evening, they were talking about how controversial that ending was of the last race, last lap, to determine the outcome of the season. So
I always like when they get to finally pull that analyst who never gets to talk in a primetime slot because he's the F1 guy. Yeah. And he's like, finally, I've made it. They want me on ESPN. And he's not on like ESPN the Ocho. I always feel good for those guys. The analyst that writes all the blogs for ESPN.com finally gets his time on air.
Yeah. Do you think next season you'll be all in?
I don't know. I don't pretend like, so I, people are like, why do you root for this team or why do you root for this driver? And I'm like, I'm still open. I'm still in learning mode. But I think I will. That documentary gave me such an appreciation for the sport, and seeing the way this season ended with such drama, I'm like, all right, I'll check it out next year.
Have fun.
I hope that the drama carries over for you. What, because we're all familiar with the phenomenon of you do something that is spectacular, and so then you try to do it again, and it's never as good the second time through. And then this time there was such a spectacular season with such a weird drama-filled ending that, like, I mean, it's actually not going to be as good next year.
That's kind of what Dan said about my first NFL game being at Lambeau versus the Bears. He's like, bro, it's all downhill from here. Like,
yeah,
you just saw the one of the most premier rivalries in one of the most premier venues. And is it Paul Tagliabue, who was the former commissioner of the NFL? He was honored with a ring that night. And when the NFL asked him, in which stadium would you like to receive your ring? He said, a Packers and Bears game at Lambeau. Of all the teams and of all the venues, that's where he wanted to be honored. So that says a lot about what that stadium and what that rivalry means. And it was pretty cool. So yeah, he said a similar thing. He's like, dude, it's never going to... It's like picking up hunting and getting a trophy buck your first season. It's like, you're ruined.
Yeah. Yeah. That's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
So, well, that seems like a great spot to take a break, hear from one of our friends in the Odd Pods Media Network, and we'll be right back.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, I'm Shannon.
I'm Jamie.
We're Married with Television, marriedwithtv.com. We are a couple of Hollywood normies on the outskirts of the film and TV industry, and we talk about our favorite TV shows, music, and movies, and sometimes they talk back to us.
Sometimes they do.
Our podcast is Married with Television, one word, on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
Possibly Amazon soon. And we are a proud member of the Odd Pods Media Network.
MarriedWithTV.com.
Welcome back. And before we get back into our conversation about cheeseheads, we want to make sure to take a moment to thank our friends from Artiest Man, or at Artiest Man and at Stello Mints. If you're watching on YouTube, just head to the About section. You can get all the details. But if you're listening, Artiest Man makes some fantastic skincare products, candles, beard oils. Really, really fantastic stuff. Head over to ArtiusMan, ArtiusMan.com. Load your cart up with all kinds of holiday goodies. Use promo code The Middle to save 25% off your first order. They've got tons of great products, not just for guys, but mostly for guys. So check those out. And then you can also check out Stello Mints, StelloMints.com. These are CBD mints. They don't have any THC that are super great at just taking the edge off. If you run a little bit anxious, you got a big meeting, maybe you got a hot date, you want to take a little bit of the edge off so you can be a little more relaxed and comfortable. These come in a really, really convenient tin. I actually just ordered myself a 5-pack of the peppermint, but the lemon and matcha flavors are fantastic. So go there and you'll actually save 10% off of every order using promo code The Middle at Stello Mints. And like I said, this, the little tin mint, super convenient to throw in a bag, pocket, purse, coat, jacket, car. Really, really, really cool looking stylish tin of mints. So all awesome products, all stuff that we all three use regularly and stand behind. And Artiest Man and Stello are fantastic partners. So make sure to check them out. Use promo codes The Middle on both sites. Save some money, and you're going to love everything they've got.
Great job, Dill. And thanks, Stello, and thanks, Artiest Man. Going to get me some more stuff before Christmas. So what else is new, guys?
Not a whole lot. Little bit of watching, trying to sprinkle in some new stuff that I'm watching on top of some holiday stuff. I did check out the HBO movie 8-Bit. I don't know if you guys have seen anything about that. It was fine. It was cute. It's Neil Patrick Harris. If How I Met Your Mother was mashed up with A Christmas Story, and it's essentially this nostalgia ride of these kids all trying to get the Super Nintendo. So 8-bit Nintendo Entertainment System.
Nice.
So it's him telling his daughter about the story of him as a kid, trying to get his very first Nintendo. And even the nostalgia element of it is fun, if nothing else, just because, you know, it's a flashback to the 80s and you're seeing all these kids. There's one character. My package from Stello Mints is on its way. I just got a text. One of the characters that really did just happen. That's awesome. One of the characters is super funny. He's like the bully and he's got this long black hair with like a jean jacket. Corey will pull it up if you're on YouTube. Everything he's in, he's so over the top that he made the movie for me, and everything else is just amusing to watch. So 8-Bit is on HBO now. If you stream any of the HBO services, you can check it out. And then we're almost done with Hawkeye, the Disney Plus series. which has been so good. And I'll talk, I'm sure I'll do a tangent video or at least talk about it on an episode, you know, after the last few are over. But yeah, I don't know if they show the main, if they show them this main kind of bully character. He's, if you go to photos, Corey has IMDb pulled up on the YouTube clips. He's just this ridiculous looking character that you can't help but just know. Yeah, all the nostalgia. It's in Christmas and all the clothes, and it's a fun kind of 80s flick. Steve Zahn is very funny as always. There's the bully in the jean jacket with his patches and super long hair. And of course he's flunked, you know, you can tell he's flunked multiple times. He's way bigger than all the other kids. But yeah, it's a fun, quick one to watch. That's generally family friendly. And yeah, everything, if nothing else, just go to YouTube and try to search like 8-bit bully and just look at the clips of stuff that he's in. 'Cause he's so absurd. It's really amusing. But yeah. And then Hawkeye has been so good. I feel like if you had told me, starting with WandaVision and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Loki and Hawkeye, if you had told me that I would end up thinking each show got consecutively better, I don't know that I would have believed you. Before WandaVision, I think I would have been like, well, Falcon and the Winter Soldier will be my favorite, and then probably maybe Hawkeye, and then, you know, but they've honestly all gotten better. And so we're super, I just feel spoiled all the time with the amount of Star Wars and Marvel content that comes out, which we talk about regularly. So that's what's going on with me. Just trying to catch up on some stuff. Still watch the holiday classics. I just watch Planes, Trains and Automobiles, which I do every year and is hilarious. You know, so just catching up on stuff.
I'm excited to dig into Hawkeye. Our family hasn't started yet because we all want to watch it together. But yeah, we're really looking forward to starting that. And just, I'm trying to avoid chatter online because there's already a lot of theories, which tells me there's at least things to have theories about. So that's exciting. And that's always fun. And if you've not heard before, we like to deep dive geek culture stuff and get into it a little more than we regularly would in these episodes. For the main episodes, we keep it relatively surface level. But we have a few good, what we call tangents episodes on YouTube, about Loki, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Those are the only two we have so far, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, releasing this week, I sat down with my college roommate, Greg Kistner, and we talked all about Boba Fett for, I think, like an hour or an hour and a half. And that's going to come out this week on our YouTube channel. So keep an eye out for that. We'll let you know and share it out on social media when it comes out. But we wanted to talk about Boba Fett because a lot of Boba Fett stuff has been happening. We lost Jeremy Bullock recently, who was the original actor that portrayed him in the first two films. Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And then Book of Boba Fett is coming out at the end of December. So we wanted to have like a whole deep dive discussion on Boba Fett. So keep an eye out for that.
And a quick follow-up question. Why Greg? For anyone who they've not met Greg before, why Greg?
So Greg is the reason that I am a Star Wars fan at all, to this level, maybe is it better said that way. And specifically, his love of Boba Fett was so infectious that it sort of spilled off onto me. He's a super funny guy. He's a giant geek like us. And it was just really fun to spend an hour talking about one character from the Star Wars films. And we also hit on the Under the Helmet documentary that came out on Disney Plus, which is a really good look at Boba Fett and sort of the behind the scenes of how he came to be. Many think that it was the holiday special where he first appeared, but we learned from that documentary that that wasn't it. We've talked about it before. We'll let you watch that and enjoy that. But if you want to hear us deep dive all things Boba Fett, check out our newest Tangents episode coming out this week.
What a beautiful segue, because I was just going to say, if you're not a huge Star Wars fan, hear from a familiar voice talk about, you know, you being you, talk about Boba Fett. But if you don't have much time to commit, because that Tangents episode is going to be awesome, but it'll be a little longer than 21 minutes, Under the Helmet, The Legacy of Boba Fett is streaming on Disney Plus. It's 21 minutes and really is like, basically for anybody that's like, I don't watch Star Wars. Why the, you don't know who Boba Fett is, or you're like, I know of the character, but I have no idea why Boba Fett is popular. That's a 21 minute explanation that you can go watch on Disney Plus. And I saw it and it was really good. Like, it did a great job at giving you a super succinct, here's how it was created, here's people talking about the creation and the development and the evolution. And now we're getting a whole other Boba Fett specific Disney Plus series, The Book of Boba Fett, which Ming-Na Wen is also in, Fennec Shand, the character that was introduced.
Yep.
And so for any Star Wars fans, this is like finally getting Boba Fett specific content is like, it's a big deal. So that's a really great 20 minute or so documentary, mini documentary you can go watch, whether you like Star Wars or not.
And just one more shout, like Mandalorian wouldn't even exist had Boba Fett not become so popular.
Oh, yeah.
Right. 100%. Like, that's why we wanted to look at another character from that faction, because of the impact that what was supposed to be a side character ended up having. So getting ahead of myself, that's in the doc and our deep dive. But yeah, looking forward to having that release.
Indeed.
How's Christmas shopping going? Are you guys getting that knocked out?
Yeah, I think we're done. We have a situation where a sister of mine isn't going to be in town for the first time for Christmas, but she's, if anybody knows her, she's an extravagant gift giver. Like, she loves giving people gifts. Our kids benefit greatly from her gift giving. We're talking ridiculous amounts of things. Not just like getting everybody the perfect gift. It's like a dozen things per kid, kind of thing. So we're constantly receiving these packages now, and she's sending a text like, okay, today Joel should be receiving something from Target, something from Amazon, and then there should be two boxes from GameStop. And so we're like, we keep things like in my office at the house, and it's filling up. So
yeah, probably why you're also recording from the studio today. And and if stuff's coming from GameStop, that might benefit you a little bit as well there, buddy.
I'm sure it will. Maybe. I mean, I know what a couple of things are. They're like Minecraft is one of them. I'm not interested in that kind of thing. But Christmas is going good.
I think I heard the Grief Burrito boys say that your Metroid game is game of the year.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I love that game. It's a wonderful game.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a throwback in that it's, for anybody who's familiar with Metroid, it's a 2D game. It's a two-dimensional game. But this one, like, there are some kind of cinematic shots that it does, where it shows you what the third dimension would be. There's some kind of limited gameplay in that third dimension, but for the most part, it's just cutscenes and stuff. But it's a modern 2D game that doesn't feel like it's cheating you at all in any kind of experience. Like, it's, they do a really good job with it. I've at this point done everything one can do as far as what the game offers you. Like, I've collected all of the things, but I'm still going to go back and I'm going to make up my own little weird things, like try to beat all the bosses with
nice,
with like 100% health or, you know, that kind of thing. I know that I will be playing that game for a long time. I like it a lot.
Speaking of gaming, so last week in game news, the Call of Duty Warzone map since March of 2020 has been a map called Verdansk, which has gotten very popular. It goes through a couple different eras, the most recent being 1984. But for the first time since March of 2020, they changed the Call of Duty multiplayer Warzone map to a World War II Pacific island. And you can fly World War II fighter planes. drive jeeps, use anti-aircraft guns to shoot down those fighter planes. And it's all Pacific theater, World War II. So the guns are different. The operators, characters are different. And that happened last week. So I checked it out. I got a downloaded it the first day. Very cool. I'm very bad because I haven't learned the map yet, but it's just a nice change of pace for the Warzone fans out there. So the Grief Burrito guys who are big into gaming hadn't even heard about it yet. And I said, what? You weren't in the know? And so they went all and checked it out. Very cool if you're into Warzone.
Meanwhile, Corey's screaming privately at home because I haven't downloaded anything yet. So sorry about that.
It's all good. You've got a young one. I get it. I remember those days.
You know, the easiest thing to kick on and turn off in a tight pinch is a game of college football. Cause if I got to shut it off, it's not a big deal.
Right.
You know, so I'm sitting over here still playing my NCAA 2014 longing for a new, now that the name, image, likeness thing is a thing, longing for desperately for a new game.
Come on. Yeah. Oh man. Do you have spare 2014s with you? Cause it, I mean,
thankfully, and I'm going to have to keep them anyways forever, but I had, before, I don't know, a long time ago, PlayStation put the PlayStation store had NCAA 14 for a digital download for $7.
There you go.
And for whatever reason, one of my PlayStations won't let me download it, but one of them will. And so I have it on one and then I have the disc in the other one. So both of my PS3s, which are in different rooms because they're also my Blu-ray, DVD, CD players, both of them have a way to play it without me needing to move it back and forth. Nice. And so, yes, I can go to one of multiple rooms and sit down and play and enjoy. And I still download the newest rosters. So, like, I still always have the newest players to play with, which is great.
Yeah. How's your gift giving and are you all done, Dylan, or you still got a few more?
Yeah. I mean, it's so now's the time where, like, you know, at some point, you know, you don't know what to buy certain family members. Typically for us, it's older family members that they don't need anything. So we try to do like fun food, you know, coffees, foods, snacky stuff, just different things. Cause it's like, what the heck do you buy them? I'm not sending out fruitcakes. That should be one of the one last shot things that we try, is like a traditional holiday fruitcake that everyone badmouths. So now it's just like, you know, placing a couple orders for some food things that we want to be, you know, fresh and letting those things arrive. So I think most of the actual shopping is done. We've got all the stuff bought, the gift cards bought, and we're just finishing up with a few food-esque items. So, yeah, so pretty much all done. It was nice this year to be able to do some of it in stores. Some of it you almost just have to do online because you can't find stuff everywhere. You're forced. But it was nice to go do some of it in stores this year versus last year. It was like, we ain't going nowhere. Everything's coming from Amazon, Target, and Walmart. You know, it was nice this year to hit up some stores to grab stuff.
So I'm in a pickle where Sherry is the account holder for the family Amazon account.
Mm-hmm.
And she also does the finances, so she sees every credit card transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I finally have the idea, if I just say, hey, I'm going to get one of those prepaid Visas, she'll see the total, but she won't have any idea what the actual purchases are. So I've got a few last minute gifts to buy, and I hadn't thought of that. I was like, that's the way to do it. Otherwise, she sees and knows exactly what either store or exactly what item is coming her way. Cause her birthday is the 23rd. So I have to do her birthday on the 23rd and Christmas.
She's too sharp. She'll notice either way, but sometimes people can go get a Visa gift card from their grocery store, which can slide under the radar. Cause it's just, it shows up as like Kroger or whatever, and then use that to go place orders for things. And you can get away with it. She would know if you went and got a $300 gift card at Kroger.
Yeah. So I'm just going to have to tell her
that would be too high of a charge at Kroger for it to pass, you know, inspection. But some people can do that. And that's the easier way to get away with it.
Yeah.
conceal
and, it. And also just set up your own Amazon account.
You'd think that would be easy for me.
So I have, I was the one with the Prime account that brought it into the marriage, but I have also set up another Amazon account that I sometimes will use only for the purpose of buying gifts for Amy.
Mm-hmm.
That's using, and then she'll use her. You got cheese for Ed.
I said, that's using your cheese. Good job.
That's using your cheese. Yeah. Didn't hear you. I want to shout out to the Shrink Next Door. Its series finale is coming out this Friday, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
You've enjoyed that, huh?
I have very much enjoyed it. You know, I've been on a streak lately of the things that I have tried to watch, I have loved recently, and most recently has been Shrink Next Door, Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd. And they are amazing opposite of one another in a dramatic fashion. It's a dark show that leaves you feeling a little depressed afterward. So maybe for some of us, wait until the spring to watch it. But no, it's good. We were talking last week about Jeremy Piven and his acting ability. And I tell you what, if you haven't yet seen Paul Rudd or Will Ferrell do anything other than comedy, you need to, because they're both remarkable actors across the board, and they both really shine in this one. So you need to see it. There are some moments of funny in there, but it's not slapstick silly Will Ferrell kind of funny. It's just kind of, yeah, you have to watch it. That's all there is to it.
Speaking of Jeremy Piven and things you've watched, I talked in last week's episode about the Jeremy Piven movie, My Dad's Christmas Date, and how I thought the music was just off. I enjoyed the movie. I thought Jeremy Piven had a great range and was super good in it, but the music was off for me. Off so much not to watch it. And then you've since watched it. So
because I was curious about the music.
So for anyone that listens to last episode and this one,
because they've been waiting with grated breath.
Oh golly.
Gosh.
Jeez.
That was not good.
That was Havarti to hear. I'm out. It was. I'm not going to lie about the fact that I was sitting alone in our home in the morning watching this movie at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's when you text. Weird time to watch that movie.
Well, I mean, hey, what else was I going to do?
Fine.
I was sitting alone in my house watching this movie, crying my eyes out at the end. Good film, good movie.
It is.
It's a daddy and daughter kind of thing, because you know their mother's not there anymore, unfortunately, and they really pull on that string real hard, until tears come out. So that happened. Music, I thought like song selection was fine. I don't feel like any of the songs themselves didn't fit what was going on, but what I did notice was they had these hard pivots from genre to genre of music, and the music didn't feel as cohesive as I think it could have, just because like they didn't pick a theme. So everywhere from orchestral classical music to pop to hip hop to like jazzy rock kind of stuff. So I didn't have a problem with any of the motions that they were trying to convey via the music. I thought that all fit. but I would have appreciated if they would have stuck with a theme. I thought it was a little jarring sometimes, but even that like feels nitpicky.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's what I said, like the film outweighs any flaws.
Exactly. Like you still liked it
as a nice Christmas movie to watch. It was just something that I had noticed. So I won't even give myself partial credit. If you feel like it was mostly fine, then I was a little weird that day, but I'm glad that you watched it. And I'm glad you had a nice emotional reaction to it, because they definitely yank. It is not to call it British comedy. It's like how you were just describing The Shrink Next Door. There's a few funny scenes, but it is a drama. You're watching a drama. And I thought it was nice for people that like the heavy Christmas drama.
Yeah. There could have been more of an ending, I feel, but
yeah.
So there is that.
Well, it reminds me of Family Stone. Speaking of heavy family Christmas drama, for anybody that likes that kind of content, go watch Family Stone. That's another one for you.
Well, I trust you guys' recommendations. And Kendall, you'll be pleased to know that based on a previous recommendation for the YouTube channel Cartnarks, when Sherry was just perusing YouTube on the way back, I recommended a couple different things. Idiots in Cars videos, which if you've not watched Idiots in Cars videos, those are hilarious. They don't show really bad, serious accidents. I don't want to watch fatalities on YouTube. It's just really funny stuff of stupid people in cars. But yeah. I then said, hey, since you're kind of in that vein anyway, check out Cartnarks.
What you think?
So she started watching a few of those videos. And I said, now some of the narcs are a little more, they're trying to elicit a reaction from the person a little more than others. Some are truly neutral and just saying, please put your card away. But she's like, oh, I couldn't stick with it if I were one of those people, because the moment they start to get violent or really upset, she's like, I would back down. But she was amazed that they just stay in it and they stay pressing them. I wasn't watching because I was driving, and I've already seen a lot of them, but I was still laughing at the noises that they make when they decide to run over to people. Like
they make fake siren noises as they're running over to people.
So that's a callback from a much, much earlier episode. I don't remember when we were talking about that, but Cartnarks is a great channel on YouTube. That was Kendall's recommendation.
It sure is.
All right, folks. Well, we've given you a lot to chew on, to ponder, to go watch. This was a sports heavy episode, but it was a lot of fun sharing our trip with you guys. And thanks for listening. And it's been fun hanging out, talking a little bit about the holidays coming up and all that prep that goes into it. So anything else we want to mention before we sign off until next week?
Wrap it up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful evening. We've already done promos for our wonderful partners, Stello Mints and Artiest Man. Be sure to get your last minute Christmas shopping in, especially if you're ordering online. And we will talk to you guys next week. We've got a few things planned before the end of the year, so we're looking forward to it. Look out for the Boba Fett Tangents episode hitting YouTube, and we'll see you guys next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.